you're with us this morning. Glad you're worshiping with us online. So thankful for our Kids Zone volunteers, faithfully, consistently, systematically, expertly teaching the Word of God to our kids week in and week out. We're so thankful for them volunteering their time. And Brendan's theme of generosity, we're so thankful for them being so generous. Question: have you ever stopped trusting God? You ever stopped trusting God? My dad, a lot of you would say no. Most of you would say no, I think. My dad is a pastor, has been for many, many years now. Still pastoring. He's in his early 70s. And he has told me before a couple times, Nathan, one of the biggest things that you'll have to wrestle with people, one of people's biggest hang-ups is what they really believe is that deep down, secretly, God is still mad at them because of secret past sins. And God is still punishing them because of some secret old sin that God is still mad about. This is doubting the power of the cross. You ever stop trusting God? And maybe that looks like for you doubting that God really can forgive the secret old sins. What I've seen more is people just give up and are like, well, I guess this bad habit or this old sin is just part of who I am, and I'm just not going to try to change. And so they just give up and they just live with this bad old way forever. So, you know, for example, I'm just always going to be the kind of guy that has a volcanic temper. Or I'm just always going to be the kind of person that worries. I'm a natural born worrier. I'm good at it, and so I'm going to do it. Or, you know, I have this secret, persistent sin that I just kind of keep going back to, and they just give up. And this is doubting the power of the resurrection. This is doubting that God really can raise us to newness of life. He can put us to death to the old way. Remember baptisms a couple weeks ago? He can put us to death to the old way, and he can raise us to the new way in Christ Jesus. So there's different ways to doubt. You can doubt the power of the cross. You can doubt the resurrection. But that's not why Sarah was doubting. We're doing a series, by the way, and getting to know the God of Abraham. And Sarah is Abraham's wife, and she'll overhear a conversation between Abraham and God in this passage, and she will have her doubts about God in this passage. See, she'll have her doubts because it's been 24 years that she's been hoping and believing for a child, and it's been 24 years that she's been disappointed and frustrated and grieved that she hasn't had a baby. And God will show up and say to Abraham, at this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And she'll just laugh. Doubt, frustration, consternation. Like, I doubt it. One of my questions for you this morning is, like, let's say you have a cup of, I don't know, what do you drink? Tea, coffee, water, milk. Let's say you have a cup of something and it spills. Does it ever go back in the cup? Kinda. Maybe. Like if you work at it, get out the shop vac, you know, and then kind of pour it back in the cup. Can it go back? Well, maybe it'll go back. Can it go back in the cup the same way? Okay, so if you lose your faith, like it spills out, can it ever go back in the cup? Can it? We're going to pray, and then we're going to read some scripture, and we'll talk about this. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God who came yourself in the person of Jesus and spoke the word to us. Open it to us. Help us see it. Help us believe it. Renew our faith. Lord, stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. Talk over me while I talk to them. Do this for your glory and our good and the sake of the world that you love. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him, that is to Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre. So back in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord calls Abram and says, I'm going to make of you a great nation, meaning I'm going to give you lots and lots of children. And I'm going to give you a land, a promise. I'm going to give you the promised land. And I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to bless all the nations through you. And so Abram gets up, and he walks before God, and he moves from Haran all the way down here to the promised land. And right now, he's in Hebron, which we know from Genesis chapter 13, verse 18, is where the oaks of Mamre are. But what I want you to hear from the last chapter is that it's been 24 years of waiting for these promises to come true. And as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him, like, ah, there they are. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. While I bring a morsel of bread, you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come near to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly to the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seas of fine flour. So I was wondering, what is a sea anyway? Sea, there's a footnote. If you have an English Standard Version, there's a footnote in your Bible. It might be a C or it might be a 3. It just kind of depends on the page numbers, how the footnotes are done. But electronically, it's a C. And so three C's of fine flour. A C is 7.7 quarts. And that made me ask, well, what's a quart? Because, I mean, I don't know. My kids go to the public school. I went to the public school. I don't know what a quart is. So I had to look it up. And a quart, it turns out, is this. 32 ounces is a quart. So, I don't know. I mean, so, you know, I only know, like, what we do at our house. So, like, when I want to make the boys pancakes, you know, I get out the mix. And I figure if they're hungry, about a cup of pancake mix per kid. Okay, that's not, I mean, there's three guys there, and she's like, he's like, quick, three C's of fine flour. You know, that's 23 of these. How much bread would 23 of these make? It'd have to fill a small room. Knead it and make cakes, quick, hurry. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. I mean, I think you have to just, like, some of you have gone to restaurants and you're like, are they killing the cow? Is that what's going on? You know, and like, time was different back then. That's all I can say, you know. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them while they, by them under the tree while they ate. So Abraham is taking on, like, I'm a servant and you guys are the masters. Like, I'll just stand here and be the waiter and you guys go ahead and eat. I think he knows this is the divine visitation. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. It's been 24 years. Last chapter, we saw the same promise. About this time next year, your wife will have a son. Here it is again. About this time next year, your wife will have a son. These visitations must have been close together. And Sarah was listening at the door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. Like, pregnancy is no longer biologically possible. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am old, after I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure? Like, really? Really? Now? Now you're going to make this promise? Now you're going to show up? Now it's going to happen? I doubt it. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out, my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? There's another footnote there that says, you could also translate this wonderful. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is that too wonderful for me to give her a baby? At the appointed time, I will return to you. There is an appointed time, by the way. We've been waiting 24 years for it, but there is an appointed time. I'll return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. And we learn in the last chapter that you're going to name him Laughter, because God will indeed have the last laugh as they laugh through tears of joy. But Sarah denied it, or acted falsely, saying, I did not laugh, because she was afraid. So what does the Lord do? So the Lord says, no, but you did laugh. Okay. So we both know. So what can you trust about God when you don't trust God? What can you trust about God when you have serious doubts about God? What can you trust about God when it's been a really long time that you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and grieving and grieving and grieving and you're like, I don't know. I mean, what can you trust about God? Well, number one, here's what you can trust about God when you don't trust God. Number one, He shows up. He shows up. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of my... God's like, look, they need a house call. I'm going to show up. They're in a spiritual state where they need me to show up. And so He does. You know that God did this in the person of Jesus as He showed up Himself. This is what we celebrate every Christmas, that God looked at us and said, they need me to show up myself. And so He came Himself in the person of Jesus. But this is not the only time the Lord shows up. I think of the Apostle Paul when he travels up to Jerusalem, and he knows what's coming for him up in Jerusalem. He knows it's going to be difficult. He knows he's going to get persecuted and beaten, and it turns out to be as bad as he is afraid it was going to be. And he gets there, and this is in Acts chapter 22. He gets there, and they recognize him in the temple, and they grab him, and they start a riot, and there's false accusations, and the Romans that are in charge are watching all of this go down, and they're like, I think they're going to kill him. And the other guy's like, yeah, they're going to rip him limb from limb. They're like, should we do something? Yeah, I guess we should. And so the Romans go over there, and they separate the Romans. The Gentiles are saving Paul from his own people, and so they grab Paul, and they put him in two chains, and they bring him, and they put him in prison. And then we read this. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage. As you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you will testify about me in Rome. Paul, I am with you to strengthen you. Take courage. Man, if you're going through a really, really hard season, like the Apostle Paul was going through a really hard season where he was betrayed, where he was beaten, where there was physical pain but also emotional pain, the Lord shows up. Maybe hear these words. The Lord stood by him and said, take courage. Take courage. I am with you to strengthen you and help you. The Lord shows up. Number two, second lesson we can learn about what the Lord is like as we get to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The second lesson we can learn about God is the Lord is patient. He is patient. So when Sarah acts falsely or lies and said, I didn't laugh, and the Lord says, no, but you did laugh. I just see this as the Lord's patience. So enablement would be just kind of ignoring it and pretending the lie didn't happen. Is that kind of how your family works sometimes? Of like, there's lying and there's not truth, and we all just kind of play along and pretend it isn't there? So we all kind of pretend the addiction isn't a problem, or we all kind of pretend that we're not drowning in debt, or we all kind of pretend that the yelling and the beating, we all kind of pretend that there's not a problem. Well, that's not what God does here, is it? God says, no, you did laugh. Let's just be honest. So it's not enablement, but it's also not impatience, where God's like, you know what, we're done. I'm going to go find somebody younger with more energy that's easier to work with. That's not what God does. God doesn't enable, and he's not impatient. God is patient, and he's like, you are going to get this. I have picked you. I am going to bless you whether you want it or not. Whether you believe it or not, I am going to bless you. I have chosen you. And I will come through for you, and you will come through with your faith intact. The Lord shows up, the Lord is patient, and the Lord can and will keep his promises. But before we talk about the Lord can and will keep his promises, let me come back to the Lord is patient here. Why is the Lord patient with us? If you're going to explain to somebody why the Lord is patient with you, like, how would you explain that to them? One of the reasons I'd say is because the Lord had picked them, and the Lord has his purposes. He has the appointed time, and he has the appointed people, so the Lord is in charge. The second thing I'd say is the Lord knows who he's working with, and the Lord knows what he's working with. He knows our weakness. It's like if you're working with a little kid and you're trying to teach them fine motor skills when they don't have fine motor skills yet, you just are going to be patient with them and believe that they will get it. Psalm 103 says he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. And if you're like, man, I don't know, I don't know if the Lord can put up with me another day. And I just offer you, not only is he dying on the cross loving and laying down his life good, he knows your weakness and he remembers that you are dust. He knows what he's working with. So the Lord shows up, the Lord is patient. Number three, the Lord can and will keep his promises. This is why the Lord says, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is out of response to, like, the biological window for me to have kids is closed. So I'm laughing out of doubt that this could ever happen. Watch how similar this is to what Gabriel says to Mary. Because remember, Mary asks, okay, you know, how is this supposed to happen? After Gabriel says, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, well, I'm kind of a virgin, and, you know, like, how is this going to work? And so Gabriel says, and this is in response to both her virginity and Elizabeth's old age and barrenness. Elizabeth was kind of in the same spot as Sarah, old and barren. The biological window had closed, and Gabriel says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Like, God can do what he wants. Is old age too, would that be too hard for God? Would it be too wonderful for this to happen to you in your old age? Would that be too wonderful for that to happen? No. God can work with you. Would barrenness be too hard for God? No. God can work with you. Would virginity be too hard for God? No. God can work with you. For nothing will be impossible for God. You see how those are similar? Is anything too hard for the Lord? For nothing will be impossible with God. This is a truth that was true then, that is true now, that will always be true. Nothing is impossible with God. He can and he will keep his promises. You might be like, but I've been praying for this for years. Well, it may not be the appointed time yet. But rest assured, there is appointed time. So, here's what we've said. We've said, when you don't trust God, what can you trust about God? It's that he shows up, he is patient, and he can and will keep his promises. So what should we do? Well, number one, I'd say, trust him, but also, like, if he shows up, could you and I show up? Like, I will never forget, and I know Cheyenne will never forget how this church showed up for us, how this church was the body of Christ to us. And when I say body of Christ, I mean Christ's physical presence on earth. Like, this church is the body of Christ and showed up for us as the body of Christ when Justice died. And this church made house calls to us and brought us food and helped us through it. And Paul says, you are the body of Christ, so show up for one another. I know this is a church that shows up. This is a church that shows up for each other because it knows it is the body of Christ. It is Christ's physical presence on earth. So, who needs you to show up? You might be ready to quit, but I'm not going to quit on you. Who needs you to show up? Second, who could you be patient with? Patient as in, so you're not participating in the lie or ignoring the lie or enabling. Patient like you're not losing your patience and giving up on them and finding someone else, but the Lord would say, who could you be patient with? And say, you are going to get this. By God's power, by God's grace, you are going to get through this, and I'm going to get through this with you. Who could use your patience? And finally, it might be good just to name. Instead of, like, denying out of fear, like, name, when do you doubt? When do you doubt that God can and will keep his promises? When do you doubt? So there are some families where the family culture is to act falsely. Remember that in the footnote where Sarah denies it, or the other translation would be act falsely, where denial and acting falsely is just normal. It's just kind of how the families do things because they don't want to face things. It's just easier to not be honest and truthful in the moment, and so you just live in this state of denial and lying, and nothing ever gets dealt with, and things just keep going from bad to worse. I don't want, and there are some churches like that too, like there's families like that where you just act falsely. There are churches like that where you just act falsely, where you can't show any vulnerability, you can't show any struggle, or you'll be ostracized because they do not have patience, because they do not have, we're going to get through this. They only have judgment and condemnation and insecure fear. You serve a God, though, that is patient. You serve a God that forgives. You serve a God that will say with determination, you are going to get through this. I am going to walk you through this. You're going to come out with your faith intact. So let's be a church that it's okay to be vulnerable in, where you don't have to act falsely. So remember when God says to Abraham, why did your wife laugh? Verse 15.